Okay, so in your bulletins today, you have just a brief outline of the message that we'll be looking at today. This is part two of the series Worship Renewal. As we start the new year, it's good for us to be thinking about worship and what we do on Sunday mornings corporately, what we do when we come together. Worship is a huge subject, and there's the piece of worship personally, the personal worship we have in our life. There's the idea of worship being all of life. All of life is worship. But what we're focusing on in this series of messages here as we begin 2018, is corporate worship. What happens in this room when we gather together? And more specifically, what happens with the congregation? There is a plethora of information on the market about what it means to be a worship team member, to be a praise team member, to be a singer on a praise team, a musician on a praise team, the pastor's role in worship, but there is precious little information on the market today about what it means to be a congregation member in the corporate worship environment, and so that's what we're focusing on in this series, and today we have part two. The first thing we have to have in mind as we consider the topic and the idea of worship is, what does the word itself mean? And just very briefly, the word worship means to attribute worth to someone or to something. To attribute worth to someone or something. Robert Weber, who is a scholar on the area of worship, has said this: Christian worship celebrates God's saving deed in Jesus Christ. True worship involves being rather than simply doing. Worship is more about who we are than what we do. Did you see that in the definition there? Worship is more about being than doing. And so many times we get that upside down. We get that flipped around. We're so concerned about what we are doing, whether the doing is the preaching, whether the doing is the playing an instrument, whether the doing is greeting people at the door, whether the doing is some other aspect of what we do on Sunday morning, we neglect the being part of it. And the being part of it is our growth in Christ's likeness, and that's our vision for 2018. And the direction that we're headed as a church is just to grow, to be more like Jesus, growing in Christ's likeness, to increase in our being more like Jesus Christ. And that has a direct reflection on and a direct impact on what happens in our corporate worship setting. So worship is to attribute worth to someone or to something. And in the Christian context, we're attributing worth to Jesus Christ as our one supreme and high holy God. So there's an observation that I have just in the culture and in the society that we are in. My observation is that many churches of all sizes and denominational flavors in the United States today in 2018 are struggling with spiritual decline, irrelevance, and have less social and moral impact than in previous generations. Now, is there anyone in the room today that would disagree with that? If we look around our culture and we keep tabs even just a little bit on current events, I think it's fairly obvious that churches of all sizes, small, large, mega church, whatever denomination, all churches are struggling with this issue of spiritual decline and being relevant in the culture. And the fact is that we have less social impact, less moral impact as a body of believers in this nation than we have in previous generations. That's just an observation. So my thought is, why don't we just do something different than we have done in past generations? If what we're doing today is not working, and the statistics last week that we looked at indicate that something's not right. Something when less than 20% of people who sit in churches, people sitting in congregations Sunday by Sunday, when less than 20% of those persons feel close to God even one time during a month, something is wrong. When we have such huge numbers of millennials just stepping away from the faith, something is wrong. And so why don't we just do something different? The things that worked perhaps a generation ago or two generations ago do not seem to be working today. So why don't we do something different? And what I'm suggesting is that we return to basics. And let's just be really, really, really good at growing to be more like Jesus. And let's be really good at worshiping together. Whether that together is on Sunday morning or Friday night or Saturday evening or whatever day of the week that is or whatever time of the week that is, when we come together corporately as a church, let's be really, really good at doing that. And that, in fact, will be something different than the culture and the society has seen in recent years. John 4, 23 to 24 is a pivotal verse, an important verse with the whole subject matter of worship. Now, in a few weeks, we'll be getting into a truckload of scripture about worship. The topic of worship comes up page after page, it seems, in the Bible. And of course, you would imagine that it would, because God is concerned about our worship of Him, worshiping Him with our lives, all of our being, 24/7, all of our lives being a sacrifice of worship to God. So you would think there would be scripture after scripture after scripture, and there are, in fact, many. And we'll be looking at some of those in a few weeks. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, Jesus says this, "But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." Just briefly, what is He saying? He's saying that God is seeking people who will worship in truth. What is truth? This is truth. This book is truth. These 66 books of the Bible are truth. That's how we know how to worship God. How does God prefer to be worshiped? How does He want us to approach Him? Well, we find that truth in the pages of Scripture. And worshiping in spirit simply means to be born again. It means to be worshipers that are indwelt with the Spirit of God. So those who are indwelt with the Spirit of God, those who have been born again, those who have been redeemed, regenerated, those are worshiping in spirit, and then they're turning to the Scriptures and studying and learning about God and living for God, worshiping in spirit and in truth, coming from John chapter 4, verses 23 to 24. So just a review from last week real quickly. There's a problem in our lives as human beings, and that problem is an unsatisfied thirst for God's presence. An unsatisfied thirst for God's presence. I introduced that to you last week and asked you to consider that. But I believe that you here today listening to this message, and those of you listening by audio, you have an unsatisfied, we have an unsatisfied thirst for God's presence in our daily living, our personal daily living. We have an unsatisfied thirst for the presence of God in our churches. We have an unsatisfied thirst for the presence of God in our worship environment. I see that as the problem, and it's what I'm presenting to you. And the solution is for worshipers, for us to be a space where God's presence could be experienced personally and corporately. We must be the kind of people where God's presence could be experienced in our own personal life and corporately as a body of believers. Look, do you really think that God's presence could be experienced if an individual is walking through life claiming the name of Jesus, but they're just racked with sin? They're living in sin. They're living like the world. They're not living in the way of the Scriptures and the way Jesus teaches. They're living in a way that's contrary to God. Do you really think that God's presence could even be experienced in that life? It's difficult to see, isn't it? Do you really think that God's presence could be experienced in a church, small or large, when the church is racked with sin, when there's all kinds of ungodliness or unfaithfulness in that church, little pockets or big pockets of it, do you really think God's presence could just be experienced there? It's hard to think that that would even be possible. It would be hard to think that God would even want that to take place, that His presence would be in the room, or that His presence would be in a person's life. Now, someone's going to say, hold on just a minute. What are you talking about, God's presence? Yes, the preacher understands that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. There's nowhere in this blessed universe that any of us could ever go and God's not there. We have that. God's omniscient, He's omnipotent, He's omnipresent. All of the omnis, that's God. But I'm talking about His presence that could be experienced. And for some people to think of the idea of God being experienced, the word of itself is difficult. God, the things of God are something that's pretty much strictly cerebral. Something that happens in the mind, but it's not so much something that happens in the heart on day-to-day living and day-to-day experience. But I believe that God can be experienced, and the way He is experienced, firstly, is with our obedience to what we learn through the Scriptures. We learn about God, we see God, we have in the Scriptures, we have a desire to live like Jesus. We're living in obedience. Well, look, when you walk in obedience to the teachings of Jesus, that's an experience of God, because without God working in your life and in my life, we're unable to do that because of the sin nature in a human being. We're unable to walk that way. We're unable to have that experience with God. Now, human beings, we all animals, the creation experience some of God just by the fact that He provides rain and air. He provides things to sustain life. So there's some experience that way, but I'm talking about a deep experience, a satisfied hunger in our own lives. We have to be walking in holiness. We have to be walking in a determination to please God and to please Jesus. No matter what avenue of life, no matter what profession that you may be in high school, you may be in the university, you may be in the early stages of your career, you may be in the latter stages of your life, but pursuing God, growing in God, living in that way, I believe will be the solution for this problem of us having a satisfied thirst for God's presence. John 15:5, in that section we find Jesus talking about the vine and the branches, and in the fifth verse of chapter 15 He says this: I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. And that verse is here this morning in our context, in this series, because apart from Jesus, we can do nothing, including worshiping Him. Now, you and I know that people are attempting to worship all over this world apart from Jesus. And Jesus says here that whoever abides in Him, it's Him that bears much fruit. And in the context of what we're talking about, what is the fruit? The fruit is worship. Jesus is the vine. We're the branches. If we're not abiding in Him, that means daily having that Bible intake that we talk about, daily times of prayer, times of communion with God, meditation on the Scriptures, living out what we read in the Scriptures, singing a song to God, all of those things that we've talked about in weeks and months and years past, all of those things, living in Him, abiding in Jesus. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So to not be abiding in Jesus during the week and then coming into a room and expecting to be provided an exhilarating worship experience is just not in line with what the Scriptures are teaching. Jesus is saying we have to walk with Him. He has to be here with us. He has to be part of our life daily and in part of our life communally in the room. So there's some concepts for corporate worship. That, again, a review from last week, just real quickly. Worship as a verb. This idea has been so powerful for me Worship isn't something that is done to us. It's something that we do. We participate in it. Everyone. It's not just something the pastor does. It's not just something the musician does. It's not just something the singer does. Everyone in the room, congregational worship. Worship is a verb. Congregational worship means everyone is participating. It means that this place, this space on a Sunday morning or whenever believers gather is a place of mutual ministry. The lady on this side is ministering to the lady on that side. The man in the back's ministering to the man over on the front right side. There's a mutual ministry dynamic that can take place in the corporate worship context. It's so much more than what we often think of as corporate worship. You're looking for a place to express yourself in ministry, perhaps, and that's wonderful. The first and primary place to express yourself to others outside of your own family, the first place would be in the corporate worship context. Just come and be yourself. Come share your life with someone. Pray with someone. Find yourself in a connection with them and be involved with them, whether that's a casual, godly conversation or whether that's prayer or whether that's sharing some praise that's happened in your life. Just come and be in ministry with one another. And when these things start to line up, I believe that this place, this room in this church, can be a place where God can be met. So last week I talked about spontaneous participatory corporate worship. A spontaneous participatory worship experience. It's spontaneous because it's not pre-planned or it's not some rote ritual that we go to. It's coming out of your heart. It makes sense and it's in context. It's participatory because you're involved. They're not just one person or five people or 10 people involved. All of us are involved in it. It's participatory and it is worship and it's an experience like can be found in no other place. So I'm just thinking, would God attend your church? Would God attend your church? I think that's a wonderful question. I think it's a powerful question. Again, someone's going to say, well, of course He's going to attend. God's everywhere. Okay, we understand that. That's a subject for another day, but that's a given. We understand it. God's omnipresent. But let's just think about it. The way things unfold in your church, in the worship setting, would God attend that? I mean, you can imagine God coming along. I think I'll visit that church today. I hear that they exalt me. I'm God. I hear that they're a Christian church, and so that they talk a lot about me, God, Jesus. They talk about me, the Spirit. I think I'll go attend that. And you walk in the room, and is there any exaltation of Jesus? Is there any exaltation of God in the preaching, in the singing, in the testimonies? Are there any testimonies? Are there any prayers? Just asking these questions, just reflect. Would God attend that? You know, a lot of churches, it's a downer for people to come to a church because that's the place where people go and there's always fighting. You know, there's people gossiping in the back room, or everybody's all preoccupied with the property, and they're all preoccupied with the building. They're all preoccupied with the song selection. They're all preoccupied with the preacher and what he does or does not do. It's just not a lot of room for God, it doesn't seem. Would God attend that? In fact, would God attend your church on Tuesday? Tuesday evening at that meeting that you're going to have, would He attend that? That's a really good question for a group of people that like to call themselves a church that's supposed to be led by the Lord Jesus. So I want to introduce to you, just for a moment, a man named Flash. Flash is a real person now. Hardworking man, hardworking tattoo artist. He has had an interesting life. It would be good for us just to tap in briefly into the mind of Flash, just for a moment. He had a difficult upbringing. Flash himself would say that his dad wasn't around very much when he was small, and his mother was an alcoholic, so he started out in a kind of a rough spot that way. In his early years, he was in and out of jail. Here he is now in his 30s, and he's working hard to support himself in a work that he likes, being a tattoo artist. And Flash is a thinker. He thinks about the world that he is in. And when asked a couple of questions, he had these interesting responses. He was asked about the concept of evil, the idea of evil. What do you think about evil, Flash? And Flash said, evil is doing bad and liking it. Wow, that's a pretty good answer. Kind of pressed a little bit further about evil and what he thought about evil in the world. He said, if it weren't for bad, we wouldn't know what good is. Now that's a pretty good answer too, and it would take a Christian theologian 100 pages or more to explain that, but Flash did it very directly. If it weren't for bad, we wouldn't know what good is. He asked about his thoughts on God. He said, well, my higher power is me. Nothing gets done if I don't do it. Not that I rule other people. He wanted to be clear about that. Not that I rule other people, but if I don't do it, it doesn't get done. I rule my own destiny. Flash thinks family is really important, but he'd be the first to say that when he was growing up, his family was a mess, but he thinks it's really important. Church? Why are there so many different religions? Which one is right? When asked about church again, his response was, helping people? No, they're brainwashing people. And he said that church is a place where ignorant people go to feel good about themselves. Because Flash hasn't had any kind of an experience where he could, well, experience God. His church experience, his experience around Christians hasn't been so favorable. He doesn't understand why people would want to be a part of it. If they feel good about themselves, well, then go ahead and do it. They're free to do it. Of course, he thinks that. But he doesn't see any value in it at all. He doesn't have that kind of experience. He hadn't seen it in his life. So I want you to join with me in the next few moments and let's just think about the possibilities. Let's think about a vision for a church that would be a little bit different for a person visiting it than they might find in whatever community they're in this morning. Something just a little bit different. So let's think about a person's experience at 10:35. The service, the scheduled worship service, the advertised worship service time is 10:45. So this is 10 minutes before the service. A person comes. They could be a churched person or an unchurched person or a person that maybe has stepped away from church for a while. Whatever. It's a person coming. What would be their experience? Possibility. A possibility. Well, they walk into this spontaneous, participatory worship experience. They walk in at 10:35 and they see two or three people sitting together. It looks like they're praying. It's a little prayer group there. they look across the room. There's a woman reading her Bible, and well, gosh, that's kind of expected in a church, and especially before the worship time. There's a woman sitting in peace just by herself, and that's cool, I guess. You know, there's a lot of people, they think to themselves, a lot of people during the week, their life is so chaotic and so rushed. And, you know, church, it'd just be nice to go sit in peace sometime. So it looks like this woman went a few minutes early, and she's just sitting there collecting her thoughts, having a space of peace. Kind of a sacred place, perhaps we might say, for her. He sees that when he walks in. The person walking in there sees a man praying with a family, and then there's a woman praying with a couple over there, a man and a woman over there on the other side. They're praying together. There's nothing too shocking about this, because the person that hadn't been to church for a while, when they walk into a church, this would be kind of what they expect, right? When people walk into a church, they expect churches to be doing church business, which church business in the New Testament is gathering together and praying and exalting Jesus Christ. But so many people go to churches, and their experience with churches is anything but that. Well, there's a man sitting quietly. Maybe he had the same kind of hectic week. That's cool. There's two or three people talking, and they're laughing over there. It seems like they enjoy being here. They don't seem rushed. They just like being in the room. Just a few things that don't seem too shocking. And it seems like, well, that would be what would be expected if you went to a church on Sunday morning. I guess they're going to be doing that. They call themselves a church, so I guess they pray and read the Bible, and they enjoy each other's company and talk about their life together, share life together. And that really strikes this visitor as interesting, because the people don't seem rushed. Because the last church that he's in, he just noticed how all of the people, the service started, but then all the people arrived 10 or 15 minutes later. It looked like they were late for an appointment. It kind of looked like when people are late to go to the dentist's office, they're rushing in there and they're late, they've been caught in traffic. That's kind of how it looked at the worship service. They seemed like they were rushed. They were trying to fit in. They were trying to squeeze God in to their calendar on Sunday morning. And for a guy like Flash, that just doesn't really seem right, because if God is so almighty, if God is so important, if Jesus Christ is so important in these people's life, why are they just trying to squeeze Him in and showing up late? Look, we have to think about what we're doing, folks. Friends, look, we have to think about what it is we do together on Sunday morning. We don't want to be scripted. We don't want to be ritualistic. We don't want to just follow along when the pastor says, well, we all need to do this. We all need to show up 10 minutes early before the service. No, then it's not spontaneous. It's not coming out of your heart. But gosh, we do things corporately in a corporate worship experience that we wouldn't dream about doing during the week. We wouldn't dream about showing up 15, 20 minutes late to a professional baseball game. We buy tickets for a movie being shown down at the IMAX. Can you imagine showing up 15 minutes? What kind of chaos, 15 minutes late, what kind of chaos that would throw over a family? We wouldn't dream of that. Gosh, every day of the week you fight and you're determined not to show up late for school. You're going to get the kids to school there. You're going to be on time at the job because the employer expects you to do that. But Sunday morning comes around, or Saturday evening or Sunday evening, whenever our corporate or together worship experience comes along, and we just slide in with our casual attitude, unprepared attitude, and we expect God to just show up and show Himself to us in some unique way. It's not logical, is it, friends? Well, this person saw that, and there wasn't anything too shocking about that for this person. Had been to church for a long time, walked into one, and that's just some things kind of expected. What about their experience at 12 o'clock? Let's see. If the service started at 10:45, and now it's 12 o'clock, And the person's thinking about what they've witnessed over the last hour and 15 minutes. And one of the things that stands out, this is our vision now. Walk with me now. Walking into a vision of corporate worship. One of the things that stands out is that these people seem peaceful. They seem happy. They seem alert. They just seem unhurried. We live in a world where people are hurried. You have a hurried life, a busy life. You don't have a whole lot of downtime for yourself. If a person walked into a worship setting and people seemed unhurried, they were alert, it looked like they were happy, peaceful, that would be completely different. That would be a completely different experience than a lot of people can find anywhere else, because they're hurried at the local department store. They're standing in line to their favorite restaurant, can't get in. They're in a hurried environment out on the freeway every day. If they could just find a place where it was unhurried and peaceful, wow, how much different would that be? This particular person thinks what they saw in this church was a woman that shared a Bible verse that was really important to her that week. She just stood up. It didn't look like the pastor had coached her. It didn't look like she was on the staff. She just stood up and said, you know, I was reading this verse this week and it was really important to me. And that was all of 45 seconds in her little testimony there. And that really was meaningful because, remember, they don't pay her to do that. And then there was that man, he gave a testimony. He didn't filibuster and take 20 minutes with his testimony, and he didn't even take 5 minutes and bore everybody to death with his testimony. He just got up for about a minute, and he just told a testimony of how God was working in his life, and he could really see it this week, how God's working, and he was thankful. He was thankful to God for how God worked in his life. Now, that is hard to find. The person thinking, sitting there thinking at 12 o'clock is, where in this blessed community can I go to and I can find a person just spontaneously tell me how God's worked in their life? Actually, they had never heard anybody do that before. That was really something. And the people seemed happy and enthusiastic in their singing, and the leader of the music, you could tell they were trying to teach a new song, and you know, everybody was kind of trying to walk along together, and it wasn't real smooth, but that was okay. Gosh, let's get out of the last century. Let's get, you know, you could, the person's thinking, that's okay. It's, people want to learn a new song or learn an old song or just a new song of some sort. He understands that. That didn't shake him up too much. It looked like children and teens were welcome in the service, because it just doesn't seem right to this person, because he's seen this, but he's seen that, you know, on Sunday morning he's seen that all the kids, they go somewhere and they have their own building over at that one place he's remembering. They have their own building, and the teens, they have their own auditorium, and then the adults, the parents, they're in another auditorium. He's seen that environment, and he just scratches his head and said, you know, and remember, family is important to a guy like Flash, and it just doesn't seem right when that takes place. But here, what he noticed was children and teens were welcome in that service, and that seemed right. Something about it, it just seemed right. The pastor was available for prayer and Q&A after the service, and this person didn't have anything to say to the pastor, but the whole idea that he was available was just a little bit different. The pastor didn't go hide in the office after the service and get away from everybody. He was available to answer some questions, so that was all right. And the pastor's sermon explained the Bible, That was cool too. There wasn't any problem with that because this person that came to visit the church was already on the website and knew what kind of a church he was going to be walking into, and he knew it was a Bible teaching church, so he would have expected the pastor to stand up there and teach something, read something from the Bible, not just his own thoughts. He would have expected the pastor to actually say something from the Bible. So that's, you know, it's good. There's a good experience here. He's thinking at 12 o'clock. There's nothing too shocking about it. Everything that he would expect if he was going to walk into a church, large or small. But what about after? Now it's 12:30. This person is sitting out in their car in the parking lot. He called his girlfriend, said he'd be over in about 45 minutes, but he's sitting there thinking, at 12:30, sitting in the parking lot, hadn't pulled out yet. What was it? Something, he feels like there's something different. And so he thinks through it. And the first thing that sparks this man's imagination is that God seems real to these people. He's been to enough places in his life where people talk about God, but it doesn't seem like He's really real because they live and they talk and they act just like He does and like everyone else does. So they like to talk a good talk, but they don't walk the walk. God doesn't seem real to them. I don't know how it matches up, he thinks to himself. But when I went to this place and I walked into this church, these people... He's not talking about the pastor or the singers or the musicians. He's talking about the congregation as he just looked out across the congregation. It seemed to him that God was real. And that's something that is really hard to find in the culture in which we live in today. Any place where God would seem real to the people that are assembled. And he thinks to himself, he looks down the parking lot and he looks at the building down there and he says, you know, what happens in there is important. What happens in there is significant. Because what he experienced in there and why it is significant is that it was more than just a free concert and a motivational message. The congregation was involved and they were alert and they were happy to be there. God seemed real to them. It was something really significant in their life. And where can he go to find that? And one thing that really stood out to him was that these people like to pray with and for each other. He's heard a lot of people say, I'll be praying for you. But it was significantly different to see people praying with one another. And something more than just a response to an altar call, which he has seen before, and he doesn't object to that. He doesn't understand all of it, but he doesn't object to it. But just to see the average person sitting over on this side of the room and just see a couple people there praying with one another, that's extremely hard to find. He hadn't seen that at the local coffee shop. He doesn't see that at the grocery store. He doesn't see that in the place that he works. He doesn't see that in his everyday life. So when he walks into a room and there are people, spontaneously, they've just been praying with one another. It isn't some kind of a weird thing. In fact, he could overhear a little bit of one of those groups, and they were just praying for their kids by name. He kind of understood a little bit, not that he was eavesdropping, but he couldn't help but hear it. He kind of understood. It wasn't some kind of weird thing. It's just something that he would expect in a church. People that are out in the world, and they're coming by his place of employment and calling him a sinner and calling him, saying that he's damned and going to be going to hell if he doesn't trust Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. As true as all of that is, So when he finally walks into the place, because he read on that little tract that he was given this week, be sure and read your Bible and visit a good Bible teaching church. And so he does it. He actually does it. What he read on the tract, he went to a church. He could see there they were a Bible teaching church. He walked into the room, and it was so significant to him that these people just enjoyed each other and they were praying for one another. That's what he would expect in a church. There's something about this place, this person says, that's different. And in a really good way, it's different. Can't really explain it. Couldn't write a blog about it. But it's different. And it's in a good way. And he can't get this one out of his mind as he sits there. He starts the truck. He's getting ready to leave. The engine's idling. He looks down that parking lot. He looks over at the building and he says to himself, I never heard people talk about God like that. Oh, he's heard people talk about God. He's heard the profanity on the street, the profanity in the jail. He's heard the profanity and the slang on television. He's heard the profanity of people claiming to be holy but walking in ugliness in their life. He's heard a lot of people talk about God, but not like this. One thing he really liked is the preacher encouraged people to think deep about God. This guy went to Sunday school with Grandma. And he remembers Grandma telling him, it's really important, church is really important. And he remembers some of those stories. But this was more than stories now. Because he's no longer 7 years old. He's 37 years old. And he liked the idea that someone was encouraging him, not condemning him, encouraging him to think deep about the things of God. And he really liked the idea that that came from the mouth of a preacher, because he expected a preacher to ask people and encourage the people to think deep about God. And another thing that stood out to this guy was these people are interested in the Bible. They opened up the Bible and they really looked like they were interested in it. They had their heads down looking at it. He saw that lady over there on the left side where he was seated, underlining her Bible. She wrote a few things out there in the society. It seemed like they were really interested in the Bible. And you know, that wasn't offensive to him, because he walked into a building. He's walking onto a property which on the sign out front says church. So that's what he expects. What he does not expect is a circus, either on the lawn or in the building. If he wants a circus, he'll go down to the Colosseum, and he'll find the best circus on earth. Something much greater than can ever be found on a church property. He doesn't expect that at all. He doesn't expect a great concert. He's been to a lot of concerts, and being a drummer, he's played in a few concerts himself, and he doesn't expect that. He likes the music, and he likes the idea that the people try to honor God with their music. He likes that idea. But what really strikes him about this church is that they really seem interested in the Bible. And that's what cannot be found out at the Colosseum. It cannot be found on the university campus. It can't be found out anywhere except at a place like this that people are just genuinely interested in the Bible, of course, we know that there are home Bible studies and groups and individuals get together and study the Bible together and go all through that. But this person, a person like Flash, could be a man or a woman, they're not in that home because they haven't been invited to that home group. So they don't know any better. They just walk into a building in a church and it's kind of refreshing. It's kind of expected people would be interested in the Bible. Maybe they would want to read it someday. He says to himself before he leaves, I felt God in that place. I felt welcomed, but I didn't feel pressured because that last church he went to, he had people crawling down his throat and asking him if he would want to attend this and attend that. And he didn't want all of that. He just kind of wanted to go in, be in peace, and experience whatever this place has to offer. He felt welcome. He was different, but he looked around and everybody else was different too. So that's okay. He felt welcome, but not pressured. Look, my friends, I think this is possible for us, for this church, this room that we're in. I'm not concerned about some other church across town. That's their business. Or across the state, that's their business. They conduct their thing. I'm thinking about this church that I'm in today with you in this place. I'm thinking about a vision of corporate worship. What could be possible? Let's take a breath and step back because we do it every Sunday, no matter where we are in this land. If we're Christians, probably we're worshiping together somehow. Let's take a breath back and think about what we're doing. Look at this picture. People unhurried coming in and taking opportunity to share life together a little bit before the service and sharing life, not only just talking about work and family, but actually praying together. Maybe he's telling someone about what God did in their life and some interesting things, good things, testimonies, the congregation being involved, not just the person on the platform, the people in the congregation being involved in actually saying, articulating the greatness of God. And just think about what people might think when they leave a service like that, reflecting on a service like that, on a place like that, thinking to themselves, that place was different. In a good way. So as we wrap up, here's what I'd like for you to have in mind. Just a path towards worship renewal. A path towards worship renewal. And remember, in a certain sense, we continually need renewal in our worship. Authentic participation. Being authentic in our participating leads to a ministry presence that you as the congregation have. You have something to offer. Your ministry, the ministry that you have, is something that cannot be offered by the staff. It cannot be offered by the music team. You have something to offer. Your ministry presence. And where are people going to find it? Please tell me. Send me an email telling me where people are going to find your authentic ministry presence, mutual ministry with one another in the context of worshiping God. It would be nice if they could find that in a church. Authentic participation. Ministry presence leading to worship renewal. And when we renew worship in this way, where we're all involved, then I think we will have a unique experience with God. If you'll allow me to say it, I think God would smile on that situation. I think God would be pleased to attend that service. Spontaneous, participatory worship experience. I think it's possible here for this church. I think it's possible for other churches, no matter the denomination, no matter the size. Something needs to change, my friends. This nation that we are living in is sinking under the pressure of sin, racked with sin. People uneducated, families breaking apart, people homeless, can't find medical care. Something has got to change, and we need, as Christians, to change it here first. In our hearts, worshiping God, genuinely worshiping God, but so importantly, coming together and sharing in that worship experience. Something beyond boring ritual. Something beyond a concert and a motivational speech. You have the opportunity to change the world. We do not need to start a new program. Somebody says, Pastor, is there something in the church that I can do to serve? Yes. Come Sunday morning, bring your worship with you. Be prepared to participate. You will be serving this church, whatever church you're in, you will be serving it in a mighty God-glorifying way. Worship Renewal, Part 2. May God, by His power, empower all of us to live in that direction.